You're about to hear the only advertising program on the BBC. We guarantee that this show contains nothing worth applauding. So do listen in, it's so kind to your hands. Yes, it's something to shout about. Michael Medwin, Eleanor Summerfield, Joan Sims, Fenella Fielding, Nicholas Phipps and Warren Mitchell bring you a light-hearted exposé of the advertising world, that world of dedication where men and women work selflessly as a team with but one end in view, money.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. This little piggy had roaches.
Janet, what are you doing in bare feet swiping away with one of my golf clubs?
I found a new way to paint my toenails, darling. I tied the little brush to the end of the club, and every time I tee up, I get a pink little piggy.
Charming. And the office carpet looks like a piece of streaky bacon.
Crazy.
Well, stop addressing your little piggy and listen to this. It's a bit out of the Advertising Gazette.
Bit of scandal.
No. It's an ad in The Situation's Vacant. Melrose and McGillicuddy require an experienced advertising executive. Must be a single man, well-versed in planning campaigns and layouts, etc., etc., etc. High salary plus expense account.
But, darling, you're not thinking of leaving. I thought you were so happy here. Well, I'm sure I've done everything possible. More sometimes.
Yes, you've been a wonderful secretary, Janet. Thoughtful, understanding, quick and willing. And you've been pretty good during office hours as well. But I must earn more money. I'm going to ask Mr. Giddy for a rise this morning, and if he doesn't cough up, I'm going. I shall give in my notice.
You've suddenly got ambition. That's what you've suddenly got.
And why not? Don't you ever feel restless, confined? Don't you ever want to express yourself and show people what you're made of?
Yes, and I did at the last Chelsea Art Ball.
Oh, hello, Maggie. I'm just off to ask about my rise.
I know. I've just seen Mr. Giddy, and I put in a bit of spade work on your behalf.
I hope you mentioned the time I spend wrestling away in my office, often until the small hours.
Good gracious, no. I never mentioned Janet at all.
I say, old boy, I'll pop in to wish you good luck.
Thanks, Adrian. I'll need it.
And don't tell old Giddy that you're doing the work of three men. When I tried that, he said, tell me who the other two are, and I'll sack them.
Michael's leaving if he doesn't get the rise.
Well, isn't that a bit drastic?
Well, you know the old saying, a man can stay in one place too long.
Yes, only this morning my wife shouted it to me through the bathroom keyhole. It frightened the life out of me. Dropped my pipe in the water.
Oh, Mr. Lightfoot, I'm glad I saw you before you went, otherwise I'd have missed you.
Mavis, why aren't you in the typing pool?
Well, as Mr. Lightfoot's going in for a rise, I looked up his horoscope, and I just had to tell him that all bodes well for financial trends.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Are you sure?
Oh, yes. You see, yesterday at twilight, Sagittarius was in the same field as Virgo.
Well, bully for him.
Now, look, I must get going.
Thanks for your good wishes.
Oh, just a minute. I've got a lucky bachelor's button for you.
Oh, and put this in your pocket, old boy.
A rabbit's foot?
Yes, for good luck. I wore it round my neck all through the war, night and day. I took it off the morning I got married, and, well, you know the rest of the story.
Darling, I know it's silly of me. Well, I'd like you to take my lucky horseshoe along as well.
Ah, very well. Where is it?
My handbag. Really, where else?
A horseshoe?
Yes, I just carried around for kicks.
Gosh, look at the time. Mr. Giddy will be waiting.
Just pick up your bachelor's button, your rabbit's foot, and your horseshoe, and hop along, Cassidy.
Right, here goes.
Good luck, Michael.
Good luck, darling. May all your troubles be little ones. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought I was at a wedding.
Come in.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Giddy, Jr.
Morning, Lightfoot. Sit down.
Mr. Giddy, I've come about my rise.
Then it's hardly worth your while sitting down. I believe I'm right in saying that you started work here in February 56.
You've got the record wrong, sir. I joined the firm in September 1955.
Yes, but you started work in February 56.
Mr. Giddy, I know I've made mistakes, but I've learnt from my mistakes. I'd like to remind you of the successful jobs I have done. I'm sure you'll agree that really and truthfully...
We can't wait for Michael any longer. We really must push on with this new account.
Offshore breeze fish paste. What a thing to inflict on the public.
Do people really eat it?
Well, my little girl does.
Little Catherine?
Yeah, she eats it with one hand and holds her nose with the other.
It's
amazing how she works things out.
She's only 4 and a half.
That stupid old clot in there doesn't recognise true talent when he sees it. He's just a hopeless, doddering old idiot.
I take it you didn't get your rise.
No, but I'm through with working for a man like that. He's nothing but an incomprehensible, retarded reprobate, the acme of puerile asininity.
You can say that again.
I wish I could. Look, I wouldn't stay on in this firm, not even if he went down on his bended knees.
Mr. Giddy's knees are always bended. Even when he's standing up.
Well, I'm going to apply for that job at Melrose and McGillicuddy.
Good. In this business, a young man with drive, initiative and go-ahead ideas has got to move around.
I thought we were talking about Michael.
We are. This is the new dynamic Lightfoot.
Quite right, Maggie. I'll get there somehow, even if I have to work 24 hours a week. I'm going to apply for that new job right now.
Janet, take a letter.
That's the spirit, Michael.
You mean you're actually going to dictate a letter? But you haven't done that for months. Not since you wrote to that girl's father.
Now, the advert says, write stating experience with personal details.
Darling, I hope you're not going to mention any names.
It doesn't mean that sort of experience, old girl. It means experience in the office.
In this office, that could mean anything.
Okay, Janet. Dear sirs, with reference to your advertisement, I shall shortly be leaving my present job, and I... Oh, I say, I'd better give some reason why I'm leaving.
Say you're leaving because of illness.
Illness?
Yes, the boss is sick of you.
Fat lot of help you are.
Dear sirs, etc., 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 I am endeavouring to improve myself, and therefore I wish to...
Mr. Lightfoot's office... Now, I'm afraid he isn't. He went off with Mr. Beals this morning to inspect a fish paste factory. They're not back yet.
Hi, Jack.
I'll ring you back. Goodbye. Mavis, shouldn't you be working?
Well, if following this knitting pattern isn't working, I'd like to know what is. Look at it. In the last row, I had to cross hands twice and I still had 5 stitches left over. So I've got to fit them into the next row. I say, has Mr. Lightfoot heard about the new job yet?
I don't think so, Mavis. He's down at that fish paste factory with Adrian. Been there the entire day.
Perhaps they're waiting for the shrimp boats to come in.
Hello, everybody. Oh, I thought we'd never get back. What a journey.
I thought Michael was taking you in his car.
That's why I thought we'd never get back.
Hey, listen, everybody. Just listen to this.
Oh, darling, what is it?
A letter from Melrose and McKillicuddy. It was waiting for me at reception. Dear Mr. Lightfoot, blah, 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 blah. With regard to your application, I am looking forward to meeting you at 11:15 on the 8th instant. That's tomorrow. Signed, Harold Clisby, General Manager.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, say, I'd better be on my best behaviour tomorrow.
Well, don't be too reticent. You've got to be able to persuade him that you're alive, alert, and that you've got something his firm simply can't ignore.
That shouldn't be difficult after spending all day in a fish paste, Patrick.
I don't think you should appear over-eager. I think the casual, nonchalant approach would be better. You know, like my friend Kinky Musgrove when she goes after a new job. She's had 25 jobs and she left finishing school.
When did she leave?
Last week. But, Michael, seriously, I think you ought to sort of, you know, drift in. Very casual, very relaxed. Like Perry Como.
Sure, sing a couple of numbers and then scratch my nose.
Oh, lovely, yes, go on.
And then light a cigarette and say, well, Clisby, I'm Lightfoot.
I thought you said he was Perry Como.
Look, Michael, just do the thing my way and you'll get the job. Oh, and by the way, you better take along your references.
Can't, haven't got any.
Well, you can borrow mine if you like. It's a lovely one. It says, Mavis Willis was employed by us as a shorthand type for 3 days. She has now left and we are very satisfied.
Thanks, Mavis, but I'm afraid references aren't transferable. When I go along tomorrow, I'll just tell them that I've got no bad habits, but I'm willing to learn.
Mr. Lightfoot?
Yes.
Mr. Clisby will see you now, this way.
Well, thank you.
Morning, Lightfoot. Come in, take a cigarette and sit down.
Thanks, but I'd sooner sit on a chair.
That's what I like, a sense of humor. A happy worker is an efficient worker, and very often an underpaid worker.
Yes.
Do you ever watch the Perry Clisby, Mr. Como? I mean, Perry Como, Mr. Crosby. I mean, Perry Crosby, Mr. No, I don't.
I don't like him either. I'm glad we've got so much in common. Now, regarding this position, we're offering top money for a top man. £25 a week now, £30 a week in 6 months' time.
Thank you. I'll call back in 6 months. No, I'm sorry. I don't mean that. I apologize.
You have a quality that I like in a man. Simple, straightforward, honest to goodness, greed. Now, as you appreciate that there are other applicants, perhaps we'd better get...
Mavis Willis here. Oh, hello, Jan. He's back, is he? What happened? No. No. Well, I never. Oh, don't worry, I won't tell a soul. I can be as silent as an oyster. Righty-ho, dear, bye. Girls, guess what?
What?
Well, Mr. Lightfoot's got a job making fish paste. But don't let on, otherwise it'll leak out all round the office.
I think it's the most wonderful news I've ever heard, Michael.
I knew you'd be pleased.
I'm thrilled. But I just can't bear the thought of this office without you, darling. I just don't know how to say goodbye. I really don't.
Well, we've only got 3 weeks. We'd better start now. Come and sit on my knee. Come on.
Well, darling, you've always got coppers in your pocket. Last night I had Britannia printed on the back of my leg.
Michael, I just heard the news. Pardon me, I'll go back and knock.
Darling, there's someone at the door.
Who is it?
I came to give you my congratulations.
We're busy. Slide them under the door.
Come in.
Michael, I heard the news. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Maggie.
What will this office be without Michael?
Efficient.
Well, you are rotten. You just don't understand. You don't understand at all. This office is full of tender memories.
Yes, it is. Look at that dent in the filing cabinet.
Yes, look at
Remember?
It.
Mm. We quarrelled and you threw the inkwell at me.
Yes. Oh, and look, that darling little old sofa with a broken leg.
Really, you two ought to live in a cave.
Darling, I know it was all the rage when you were a girl, but really, no thing.
I say, Michael, congratulations on getting the job.
Now then, who's going to give a subscription for Mr. Lightfoot's leaving present? Let's have a bob a knob. Oh, crikey.
Well, you're not having a bob from this knob.
Oh, I'd no idea you were back, Mr. Lightfoot. They said you'd gone. Not that anyone told me, of course, but in this place you hear things if you keep your eyes open and your mouth shut.
With you, Mavis, it's usually the other way around. How much have you got so far?
3 and 3.
That's not bad.
Isn't it? I started with 5 bob. Just not any good at giving change. It was my 5 bob.
Oh, Mavis, that's sweet of you.
Oh, not really. I think farewell presents most important. My uncle was a corporation plumber, and you know, when he left, the Lady Mayoress gave him a bath. Yeah, it was a porcelain bath to take home. It was a souvenir, and that's what Mr. Lightfoot wants.
A bath?
A souvenir. Something to remind him of this place. A little memento so that he'll never forget this farewell.
Well, how about a crate of gin and Janet?
Farewell and hello.
Welcome, Lightfoot. Welcome. I hope that during your stay with this firm, you'll be happy and hard-working.
Well, one or the other, Mr. Clisby. One or the other.
Voila. Just follow me and I'll show you to your office.
Oh, I see we take the lift.
Mr. Lightfoot, this is not a lift. This is your office.
But it's so small.
Efficiency. If you want to pace up and down, you just stay where you are. Labor saving. Fancy you thinking this was an elevator.
Well, that control panel there with all those little lights and buttons.
Well, that. Well, let me explain. We here in Melrose and McGilligan-y have solved our staff problems with automation. Those controls operate the labor-saving devices.
But I presume I have a secretary.
Oh, yes. Sandra. You'll find her very cooperative.
Oh, really? What does she look like?
See for yourself. She's the third button on the left.
An automatic secretary, but you said Sandra.
Oh, yes. She may be electronic, but we gave her a name, you know, like Ernie. Sandra stands for Secretary Automatic Non-Static Direct Remote Controlled Assistant.
My last secretary's name was Janet.
What did Janet stand for?
Practically anything.
Really? Was she a three-button job? Well, I was never one to pry, but I should imagine it was safety pins and elastic.
Oh, I get it. She was human.
Very.
Hello, darling. Are you liking the job any better today?
Oh, yes, darling. Very happy. Everything's dandy.
Good. I always said you'd settle down after the first week.
Oh, I'm so glad I made the change. It's a lovely office, charming people. I enjoy every single minute of the day.
Do you really?
No, it's sheer ruddy murder.
You change your mind rather quickly.
The boss just left the room. Now, Janet, listen carefully. I've just found out the most terrible thing. At the end of the month, this entire firm is transferring itself to Sidcup, and me with it.
But, Michael, how on earth can I meet you for lunch if you're in Sidcup? I mean, where is Sidcup? Is it in England?
I think it's somewhere near Birmingham. And we must do something. Ask Maggie to help.
All right, darling. Well, at the moment, she's in the middle of a fish paste conference, but I'll ask her.
I must say, Maggie, these conferences don't seem the same without Michael.
No, everything goes so smoothly. Mavis, would you read back your notes on the conference so far?
Righty-ho. Offshore Breeze Fish Paste Conference. Present Miss Tuffnell from TV commercials and Mr. Beals from the copy department. Also, Miss Mavis Willis from the typing pool who took notes. That's me. Mr. Lightfoot did not attend owing to his not being here.
Oh, Mavis, get on with it.
Miss Tuffnell opened by stating categorically. Well, that's when my pencil broke. What you said, anyway. At this point in the meeting, the seat of Miss Mavis Willis's chair gave way.
Mavis, that's not important.
It was to me.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Maggie, but you've got to do something.
I am doing something. I'm having a fish paste conference.
Well, I hope you'll both be very happy. Maggie,
we've got to do something about Michael. He can't stand that new firm. And at the end of the month, they're moving it to Sidcup.
Janet, I don't see what we can do. I mean, he gave in his notice and left. He can hardly ask Mr. Giddy to take him back.
No, but we could.
Could we? How?
Well, we could say that we couldn't manage without him. Without Michael at the helm, we're like a ship without a rudder.
That's exactly how I feel.
Well, I hardly think you can describe me as a ship without a rudder.
Sort of hard to tell with that stern.
Well, really.
Now, come on, Maggie. We've got to do this for Michael.
All right, I'll speak to Mr. Giddy, Jr., but I can't guarantee... Oh.
Miss Tuffnell. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, Mr. Giddy, Jr.
How are you getting on with the fish paste job, then? Client's getting rather impatient, you know.
Oh, yes. Well, we can't do it, Mr. Giddy. We can't seem to get anywhere with it.
We've lost our rudder.
Good gracious me. Where did you last see it?
Now, it's Michael, Mr. Giddy. We can't seem to get anywhere without him.
He was always behind us.
Leading us forward.
Side by side.
And where is Michael Lightfoot?
He's no longer with us.
You mean he's... Oh, dear me.
He left 2 weeks ago.
Well, I should hope so if he... Oh, left. Oh, yes, I remember now. I saw a memo somewhere. Well, I suppose if you really want him, we must try and get him back.
Yes, of course.
We must find him. Yeah, where is he?
He's on Devil's Island.
They're sending him to Sidcup.
I'm meeting him in the pub across the road at lunchtime.
He does get about, doesn't he?
Well, I really think it's wonderful the way you've all stood by me. Calls for drinks all round. What's it going to be?
Martini.
Pink gin.
Bitter.
A whiskey shandy.
Right, martini, pink gin.
Oh, it'll be nice to have you back, Mr. Lightfoot. You know, every time I went into your office to pour out your coffee, I missed you.
You always did, and I've got stains to prove it. There's one snag about all this. When I started with Melrose and McKillicuddy, I signed a 3-year contract with them.
Oh, Michael, you might have asked my advice.
I hadn't any option. It's because of this move to Sidcup, you see. They've got to organise accommodation. They're building a dormitory town out there. So all the new employees had to be single men with no ties.
Well, what do they wear? Roll neck sweaters?
No, I'm sorry, everybody. Thanks for your efforts, but I've signed a contract and I can't break it.
Where are you going?
Well, I've got a lunch date with Mr. Clisby. We're meeting at that new vegetarian restaurant in Regent Street.
The Herbal Hamburger? Michael, you know you promised to have lunch with me.
Yes, but mustn't be late. Clisby will be waiting. She's got a terrible temper for a vegetarian.
Well, hang on. Mavis and I are coming your way.
Yes, we're lunching together at the Hasty Tasty.
Well, come on then. I daren't keep the boss waiting.
Well, fancy being stood up for a nut cutlet. Next thing you know, he'll be going steady with a carrot.
Poor Michael, he's working for a vegetarian with a power complex.
It's like the Quatermass story all over again.
That wretched contract, why did he sign?
Janet, I've been thinking there's a way of breaking that contract if you cooperate.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, now, supposing you go along.
Should we go for lunch, Miss Tufnell? I'm torn between the Hasty Tasty and the Bubble and Bean.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm thinking about Michael. It's not right, you know. He's scared stiff of that boss of his.
Yes, fancy getting the wind up over a vegetarian lunch.
It's that wretched contract. Hey, Mavis, I think there's a way of breaking it. Look, all we have to
I can warmly recommend the ragwort soup, Lightfoot. Or would you prefer the strained prune consommé?
Well, not when there's an R in the month.
Or the mock shrimp cocktails. Very good, very good.
I think I'll settle for the mock turtle soup. I haven't tasted real mock turtle soup for ages.
Well, it's not really real mock turtle. Actually, it's seaweed and plastic. An acquired taste, of course.
Of course.
And after, I think I'll have the birch bark salad.
Me too.
With or without moss?
Without.
And to follow?
A stomach pump.
You! Michael, darling, hello.
Janet.
Michael, darling, here you are. I've been looking everywhere. Well, introduce me to your friend.
Oh, well, this is Mr. Clisby.
Oh, I'm so glad to meet you, Mr. Clisby. I knew my husband was lunching with you, and I just couldn't keep away.
Husband? What husband?
You darling little rogue. Oh, I have to watch him like a hawk, Mr. Clisby, especially in the warm weather.
Lightfoot? I'd no idea you had a wife.
Neither had I. I mean, one meets so many people nowadays, I'm so bad at remembering names.
I'd better get another chair.
Janet, are you off your head?
Darling, your contract's for a single man. We've got to convince him you're married.
Oh, I see.
Well, sit down, Mrs. Lightfoot. Tell me, is this marriage something recent?
Last
year.
Beg your pardon?
Well, a year last month. We've been married 13 months.
And has your union been blessed with issue?
An issue of what?
Children, presumably.
Children? Oh, yes. Well, I think that's what families are for, don't you?
Lightfoot, you never told me you had children.
He didn't have them, I did. And they're so sweet, aren't they, Michael?
Yes, there's little David, he's two.
Two?
months. 2 months.
And then there's little Susan.
Another?
Twins. Twins. Oh, Mr. Clisby. I just can't imagine why Michael didn't mention he was married. It's been 6 months of sheer bliss.
You said you were married 13 months.
Doesn't the time fly when you're having fun? He's been such a devoted husband, you know. Do you know, I've never met a man like him. And he feels the same way about me.
Yes, I've never met a man like her either. I realize I should have told you, Mr. Clisby, but...
Michael! Hello!
it's me, Maggie.
Oh, Maggie, this is a surprise.
Oh, Janet's here, too. Ah, but you must be Mr. Clisby.
Delighted.
You must excuse me, but I knew my husband was having lunch with you. And I just couldn't keep away.
You're what?
My husband. This one. Not the one with the plunging neckline. That's Janet.
Oh, well, I'll go and get you a chair.
Maggie, I'm supposed to be his wife.
Oh, and I thought I had an original idea.
Now, Mrs. Light.
Yes.
Well, which one of you is Mrs. Lightfoot?
She is.
Lightfoot, are you married to both these ladies?
No. I mean, yes. Well, you see, Maggie and I rather lost touch after our divorce.
Our what? Oh, yes, of course, our divorce. It completely broke up the marriage.
Well, that explains everything. I mean, for a moment, I was confused.
You weren't the only one.
So you got a divorce?
Yes, last month.
Last year.
It's all right. It's all right, I know. A year last month.
That's right, just before I married Janet on grounds of cruelty.
Michael!
Oh, not Mavis. I mean, there are limits.
Clisby, how do you do? I'm Mavis Lightfoot. Excuse gloves.
I'll go and get another chair. I only hope there's enough in the place.
Mavis, he's already got two wives. Three's a crowd.
Oh, I'm not a wife. I'm a relative.
So, you're Mavis Lightfoot?
Yes, but I'm not his wife.
Well, what are you then?
I'm his daughter. And we're just good friends.
This man is your father?
Oh, yes, always has been, ever since I was born, that is.
You look a little old to be his daughter.
Well, I'm only 16, but I watch a lot of telly.
Now, tell me, which one of these ladies is your mother?
Which one of us looks like her mother?
Well, Mum's not here. She's at home and she's very worried.
As well she might be.
No, well, it's the twins, you see. They haven't started to talk yet, and we think they're each waiting for the other one to begin.
So that's it. Keeping two homes going. Mr. Lightfoot, what sort of a man are you?
Well, I'm not a vegetarian, I tell you that.
I never heard of such behavior. You can consider your contract with us null and void.
When I said we were starting a dormitory suburb at Sidcup, I didn't mean that sort of a dormitory.
Good morning.
Well, I never knew getting fired was so easy.
Congratulations, Daddy-o.
It was a short marriage, but a gay one.
Oh, I rather like the idea of being Mrs. Lightfoot, honeymooning in a vegetarian restaurant. Healthy.
I say, I saw old Clisby rushing off. How did it all go?
Oh, wonderfully. I've annulled two marriages and one contract in the space of 5 minutes.
Oh, well done indeed.
Welcome back to the old firm, Michael.
Got the same old salary?
Oh, by the way, old boy, I found this memo for you in the letter rack this morning. I meant to give it to you before. Here you are.
Thanks. Good grief.
What is it?
It's from Mr. Barbican Sr.
Our managing director?
Yeah, listen to this. During the past 2 weeks, work in your department has been 10 times more efficient in every way. Therefore, I am pleased to grant you your request for an increase in salary.
Oh, how smashing. There, you see, they found out your true worth at last.
But for the past 2 weeks, I've been working for another firm.
Exactly, old boy. Don't come back, and all is forgiven.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, and Adrian by Nicholas Phipps. Mr. Clisby and other unlikely characters were filled in by Warren Mitchell. The script was written by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe, who are two of the greatest writers in the country. Unfortunately, they work in town. The show was produced by Eric Miller, who until only half an hour ago had a promising career ahead of him. Just one last thing before I go, although you'll never guess it, this program is recorded, is recorded, is recorded, is recorded, is recorded, is recorded.